Good morning, it's Justin, Scott, and Spiegel, joined on the phone, legendary actor. I refuse to call him a B-movie actor because the man takes any film and turns it into an A-production. He's got Hail to the Chin, Further Confessions of a B-movie actor, ladies and gentlemen, Bruce Campbell. Good morning, sir.
That was a fine introduction. That was just fine. I like all that living legend stuff. I never get tired of that.
Well, I mean, between
Thank
Army
you,
of Darkness, Evil Dead, I mean, you coined the term boomstick. How many people have enjoyed themselves a Halloween with a prosthetic shotgun from the elbow down?
I've signed a lot of boomsticks. I've signed a lot of chainsaws, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So talk to me about the book, Hail to the Chin, Further Confessions of a B-Movie Actor. I just love how, I'm not going to say self-deprecating, but you're so very self-aware and at peace and appreciative of where you are in the scheme of the Hollywood hierarchy, and your fans do as well. We get a taste of that in this book.
Well, you know, I'm not digging ditches, so I'm grateful every day. You know?
Yeah.
It's a tricky industry. You guys are in showbiz. You know that you got to deal with higher-ups. You got contracts that come and go. Sometimes they go, you know,
yeah.
And we all know that the door is waiting for us at any given time. So I think the trick is enjoy it and, you know, try and give the people what they're sort of looking for. And there's a lot of ways actors can make money now. These conventions, boy, have saved a lot of actors' necks, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah. We've seen all that. I mean, not acting, but the movie, like The Wrestler, remember that, where he was at like one of those conventions? And it can be that sometimes, Bruce. Did you have a low point, a lowest point, where you were like, man, ah.
Yeah, when my first wife asked for a divorce, because I was just never there.
Yeah.
And she's like, dude, this just ain't going to work. You know, you seem like you're an okay guy, but I never see you.
Right.
So see ya. And that's when you go. And I offered to get out. I said,
oh, wow.
I said, I'll quit. And she's like, no, you won't. And she was right.
I thought you were going to say talking to us was the low point of your life.
Well, there's one thing of what you think and what you say.
Thank you for not saying that, though. Yeah.
And, Bruce, that voice that you hear is that of our newsman, Josh Spiegel, who's gone on record many times throughout his life as saying that Spider-Man 2, directed by your high school friend Sam Raimi, is his favorite film of all time. Josh, any Spider-Man 2 questions?
You actually are correct in your assessment, because I saw that movie. Sam was shooting a complete piece of crap, Man with a Screaming Brain, and I say that because I directed it in Bulgaria, right?
Right.
And Spider-Man 2's coming out. They just built this brand new 400 seat stadium theater in Sofia, and that was special because this town, you know, didn't have anything like that. Sam arranged for a print for us to show it to the crew. And I got to tell you, it was the most incredible thing we ever saw. And, I mean, he nailed it. He nailed being a director of these movies. And it's a tough thing, superhero movies. You're combining special effects and telling a big story on a big canvas. And so he really did absolutely nail it. And when the lights came up, we were even more depressed because we went, oh, let's go back to work on our crappy little movie.
And what is it like being friends with a director? Is he really controlling? Is he trying, like, if you
Sam out- always bossy as hell.
I'll order for us,
boss,
Bruce.
Boss, 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 boss.
I'll
boss,
order
boss,
dinner.
Boss. And I give him lip, you know, and the crew now, like, I did a small part on Oz the Great and Powerful. And he's bossing me around, something about my lousy acting. And I go, yeah, Sam, well, you know, if I had a director, I could figure this out. And the crew, like, they just gasp because now he's Sam Raimi, right?
Right.
But you know, he's not just your boyhood pal. He's Mr. Director. So it's great to watch, though. Because Sam always, we could never afford Sam's ideas.
How do you like
he should be working in big movies.
We're talking to Bruce Campbell of If Chins Could Kill. And is the book. And how do you like the voiceover work?
It's okay. You know, you radio guys have it. You know, it's a nice, comfortable studio. You come in, and it's all pretty civil. But it can be a little repetitive if you're doing, you know, you got to do a lot of military jargon, like I did Call of Duty and some other stuff. And in some games, you have to die every way that a player can die.
Yeah.
Which can be like 15 ways, and you got to record it all. And players in the course of their lifetime might hear two or three ways that you die. It's a lot of extra material that most people don't even hear. And then we threw in some stuff, too. Like, if a guy just keeps clicking on something, we'll eventually go, there's nothing there.
Move on to the next objective.
Yeah.
You're so well known for the Evil Dead films and Army of Darkness. And one of the films that I loved that you did, and I was bummed to hear that you weren't going to be involved in a sequel, if it even ever got off the ground, was 2000, I think it was 2001, 2002, Bubba Hotep, where you played
Bubba.
It was just so great. You were Elvis Presley. John Kennedy was in the damn thing. You had Bob Ivy as Bubba.
And a very kooky movie. It was the weirdest script I had ever read.
It's so crazy. It's like an Elvis that never died, basically fighting the supernatural.
Yeah, what if Elvis had never died? What if he has cancer on his penis? And what if a mummy was sucking the souls the old people in the rest home. And so he teams up, with a guy who thinks he's JFK to defeat the mummy. And the funny thing is, it has a little bit of a poignant story of what happens to old people. It really has a nice theme. A lot of scripts are missing a theme. A lot of stories don't have a theme.
I guess I never thought about that. Yeah, to not throw away
these heroes.
Well,
that's what drew me to it, because it's like the movie plays out more like that. Oh, yeah, and they fight a mummy. The mummy is kind of almost an afterthought in the movie, and that's what I liked about it. It was something different. And, who doesn't like playing Elvis? I mean, but the good news is nobody had played him at 68, so I wasn't going to be compared to Kurt Russell or, any of those jokers.
So, Bruce, before we, let you go, you got a busy day ahead. Of all the films that you ever did, of any of the series that you ever took part in, is there a film that you felt deserved a sequel that never got one that you still wish you could film a follow-up to?
No.
Fantastic.
Because like with Bubba Hotep, for example, there was the opportunity to do another one, and I backed away from it just because I thought, let's let that movie be a nice special little movie. I've done sequels, so I can't really say this with a perfectly straight face, but not everything needs a sequel. Let these little gems just be these little gems sometimes, because what happens is, people will stay with it, and then when you make a clunker, they go, what a piece of crap.
Yeah, speaking of movies that didn't need a sequel that you were the literally only good part of, Escape from New York's Escape from L.A., where you were the insane Surgeon General with that carved-up ass human Ken doll-looking face. I love your movies. I can't wait to read the book, Hail to the Chin, Further Confessions of a B-Movie Actor. Bruce Campbell, it's been a pleasure, sir. Thank you for taking the time this morning.
Thank you very much.